Final hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. More of your phone calls available coming up in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, we'll bring in our third and final guest. I never try to overwhelm you with outside voices, but if we reach out to someone, it's because they're insightful and entertaining. Pete Prisco, columnist for CBSSports.com, always delivers, talking NFL with a great friend of the program. In addition to what we're going to do coming up, we'll try to figure out what's really happening in New England. And in 20 minutes, in addition to a call or two, more NBA talk. Lakers wrapping up the top seed in the West. Issue for them is going to be from a standpoint of preparation, because given how wild the race for eight is in the Western Conference, I think we're going to see that play-in gimmick. Lakers are going to have to wait all the way through that muddled situation being clarified to figure out who they're going to play. Although, I know this is a bizarre aberration of a year. Take a look at the standings. We're talking about teams with losing records, way under 500 in playoff contention, but beggars can't be choosers. Believe me, I know. I'm a fill-in host. I'm just so happy the NBA's back. I've been watching a ton of this. It really feels like a little bit of the NCAA tournament atmosphere. I realize fake crowd noise in a bubble can't compare to the single best day in all of sports when we tip off March Madness, but because we didn't get it this year, yesterday getting ready for the show, to have NBA games on during the day. And yeah, Milwaukee looked lousy. But as Mike Budenholzer said, without saying it, after the game, losing to Brooklyn, of all people. I can't name anybody on Brooklyn right now, but I don't have to, thankfully. Load management was the goal. Going to let our guys rest a little bit, and now it's just a formality. Bucks need one more win to be the top seed overall. None of that matters because there is no home court advantage. We don't have home courts at all. I am in the home of the Hall of Famer, the iconic Jim Rome, reading your tweets off my cell phone. Iconic to wooden laconic. Hey, B.W. Weber, if the Bucks manage to win the NBA championship this year, why would Giannis have any reason to leave? Stay and build a dynasty. Yours, Kawhi Leonard. I mentioned who's not here, in addition to Jim. Follow Jim on Instagram. He's having a great time in Wisconsin. My man is just cranking out the content. Jim, it's a vacation. But that's how much he cares about each and every one of you clones. Jim Rome on Instagram. Jim's not here. That's a loss for you. I'll concede that. Adam Hawk's not here. That's a win for all of us. Husker Rocker. Hey, B.W. Weber, you know what I Am Adam Hawk's favorite movie is? Less Than Zero. Going back to 1987, Andrew McCarthy. Do I have a bigger career than Andrew McCarthy now? I'm not talking body of work. I'm talking presently. Is he working? I've stumped the audience. If you have an Andrew McCarthy update, we're not going old school with the John Hughes movies. Wasn't he a mannequin, too? He was in every movie in the 1980s. If you know where Andrew McCarthy is right now, you go to the front of the line at 1-800-636-8686. This is my wheelhouse. Now, I put a lot of time into these well-crafted takes, but we could do Romageddon with the fill-in pimp of the box and just talk 80s movies. And I could say, well, I'm just trying to go with the flow. Instead, I want to be invited back. So let's get back to how we started the show. And the goal this morning was to talk some Marlins, and we got that done to wrap up hour number two. But heading into work here in Southern California, there were two significant developments in college football. And thank you for the feedback. I am aware, having grown up on the East Coast, some letters are a little bit more soft. So, for example, I say orange because I'm a broadcaster who has an affectation. The way I grew up, it was orange. So a couple of you have pointed out college football has a different sound for Keith Jackson than yours truly. That's why he was the best college football voice of all time. You do not want me enunciating any more as I'm holding on to this mic for dear life than I already do. In the world of sports on campus, got the news from UConn, shutting it down. First school in the FBS, the major level of college football, deciding they're not playing ball this fall, and they're not going to play in the spring because they got nobody to play. Of course, the primary concern is player safety, and the school cited the pandemic in a statement that also noted they've been working in concert with state officials in Connecticut, UConn at Storrs, a public school, following the recommendations of the folks running things locally in Connecticut. But beyond that, because we're a sports show, it was self-apparent UConn had a major dilemma. They just became an independent, and we're not talking about Notre Dame. Nobody was looking around the country saying, let's pick up the Huskies, because we know their proud heritage on the gridiron. So they, given the realities of a schedule that already had four games wiped out as they were slated to play teams from the SEC and the Big Ten, they're not playing college football, at all this year. The Big Ten moving forward, even though Rutgers is still dealing with an ongoing outbreak. Big Ten following the ACC in terms of the details of scheduling, they're going as soon as they can. They're going to kick September 3rd for the only time we have alignment between the Pac-12 and the SEC. They're going to wait and start their seasons with conference-only games at the end of September. Big Ten went first as the dominoes fell. The last time I was filling in for Jim, a few weeks ago, when they announced unilaterally they were only going to play conference matchups this year. Why? They don't want to write checks to the opponents for those gimme wins because everybody's counting every dollar in college football. Secondly, they don't know that their opponents from, say, the MAC are following the same health and safety protocols that the Big Ten has dictated. So, not a surprise that the Big Ten has structured the schedule in a way that they have effectively 14 weeks to play the 10 games. The headline, though, based on the details, if you build your fall around the game between Ohio State and Michigan, change your plans. Not going to be the regular season finale. Going to kick on October 24th. Just meaning that Jim Harbaugh can get the suffering out of the way before Halloween, losing again to Ohio State. So that's the outlook on campus. But what about the pros? Because college football has more time, depending on the conference. I alluded to the SEC and the Pac-12 giving themselves wiggle room all the way until the end of September. The NFL just keeps steam rolling forward with the kickoff game to start the season with the reigning champs of Kansas City and the Houston Texans just over a month from now. In our immediate future, the deadline for players to officially opt out is looming tomorrow. And in that category of players who do not want to compete, wouldn't you know, it's the Patriots who are in first place there, along with all of their Vince Lombardi trophies. So I am up for a good conspiracy. If you want to take me back in the day, since we already had the Andrew McCarthy reset, I'm not afraid to mention I was born in 1969, November, but you can do the math. I'm not as young as the makeup and the jacket, hopefully, helps me appear to be. If you want to go way back, Hot Tub Time Machine, and talk about In Search Of, because when I was a kid, there was a thing called the Bermuda Triangle. Treacherous. Ships would disappear. We never saw planes again. Magically, we got GPS, and that whole thing went away. So I'm down for a good conspiracy, but if you're going to create one in the NFL, at least be consistent. Because we've seen the evolution of thought when it comes to the Patriots, phase one was Belichick is smarter than everybody in sports. He's not at all going to miss Tom Brady. In fact, he's going to trust the process, blow things up this year, and go all in with a mentality of maximizing the draft possibilities, otherwise known as tanking. And that carried through free agency, when the Patriots could have made a run for, say, Teddy Bridgewater. There was talk of interest in Phillip Rivers. None of that happened because you kept telling me it's all about losing for Lawrence. They're going to go 2-14 to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or another one of the quality quarterbacks that are ready to make the move from playing on Saturday to Sunday. So that was phase one. But magically, in phase two, the Patriots signed Cam Newton. Got him at a discount, understandably so, because it's a show-me year for the former league MVP, dealing with, in the past, the shoulder injury and coming off the foot issue. And don't you know, the conspiracy changed. Belichick's playing 12-dimensional chess. We're all playing checkers. He was just waiting to drive the price of Cam down, sending out all of the disinformation that the Patriots had no interest in Cam. And now that they got Cam, he's going to be motivated because he's playing for his next contract, and they can revamp the offense. Because Brady was a statue, couldn't give you anything with mobility, especially in the red zone. Well, Cam's Superman, he's going to punch it in inside the five, and it's going to be shades of the Patriots of the past. Ground and pound. Sony Michel toting the rock. Give it to James White. Touchdown, Patriots. They're going back to the playoffs. But now, it's another swerve, another chapter. Because the Patriots, as of today, and we're on opt-out. Watch. With the deadline coming up tomorrow, Patriots have eight players deciding not to play. And I support each and every one of them. Your employer doesn't care about you, folks. This just in. Especially in the National Football League, when the average career is just over 3 years. So you do you. Take care of yourself and your family. And if you're lucky enough to have a few close friends, you're doing better than most people in this world. So I am not going to dissect nor second guess any of the Patriots who decided to opt out. But if we're going to go with the previous conspiracy, if you're going to run the football, you got to play defense. Well, isn't that now a contradiction? Because you don't have Patrick Chung and you don't have Dante Hightower, the most disruptive player on that defense. So I'm confused. I don't know the answer. If you're following the black helicopters, or you're wearing a tinfoil hat, or you're deep on the dark web, let me know what's really going on in New England. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's, because there's nothing wrong with an entertaining conspiracy. We love them in the NBA. The frozen envelope delivering Patrick Ewing to the New York Knickerbockers, Tim Donaghy in football. Do we really trust the Patriots when the foundation of the dynasty came from the Tuck Rule, Spygate, Deflategate, Spygate 2? I'm here for it all, but just tell me what we're going to believe in that is made up, and I'll follow your lead, the QAnon of sports. 1-800-636-8686. If you're hanging on the line, your phone call straight ahead. Coming up at 40 past the hour, we wrap it up with Gusto. More football talk. Pete Prisco, senior columnist for CBSSports.com, a great friend of the program, will join us. You can continue the dialogue on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Straight ahead, in addition to a call or two, we're heading inside the bubble. We're talking more NBA. Will the Rockets' micro-ball approach come up big in the postseason? And how about the team that beat Houston last night, the Portland Trailblazers? That's all on the docket. I'm Brian Weber. In for Jim Rome, you're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber, always having a great time with you. It's an honor to fill in for Jim Rome. I take it seriously. I hope that comes through, but don't try to take myself too seriously. So you could continue to use me as a human pinata on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Emails RomanHaveATake.com. Straight ahead, we'll get to the phone lines. 1-800-636-8686. If you can't get through today, and to be fully transparent, you're probably not going to get through today. I'm back with you tomorrow. Uh-oh, your long national nightmare continues. More of your phone calls will be available tomorrow. In less than 20 minutes, we take you round the NFL with training camps and trying to figure out if the league is going to be able to play an entire regular season and crown a champion in Tampa. Looking forward to our conversation with Pete Prisco, senior columnist for CBSSports.com. Pete slumming today, talking to the fill-in host. Normally, he is a regular when Jim is here. You can also tweet at me after the show. I will read your tweets later on. But we have a few more to get to here. Street Girl Fan. It's B-Web with two B's. Sub Pimp in the Box. Can a call from Matt in L.A. be far behind? War bra for Huntington Beach City Council 2020. Street Girl, watch out. Be careful what you wish for. Bad news could be on the horizon. Oh, heck. I'll lower my standards. Geoff and Lincoln. Can I get a restraining order on social media? That's a rhetorical question. I know it varies from state to state. I will be on the phone with someone in Nebraska. Get Don on the phone. I want those pictures, too. I'll be calling somebody in Lincoln when we're done with the program. My man, Geoff in Lincoln, is it possible to give less than zero? Regards, Adam Hawks, GPA. Clearly, I have given up. That's the huge tweet. As you get back to business, Grainger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and much more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. We have talked plenty of NBA, had a quality conversation in the last hour with Sekou Smith from NBA.com, and we touched on the situation in Houston. The West has, and I don't love the word storyline, I fall into that habit because it's a media turn of phrase, but the West has so many different ways you can analyze what's going on in that conference that if you really just love basketball the way I do, you could justify going wall-to-wall hoops. Now, I'm never going to do that because it's broadcasting, and the NFL is the behemoth that crushes everything. And with the PGA Championship starting tomorrow in San Francisco and full weekend coverage on CBS, it's worth talking about Tiger Woods. More to the point, can Koepka pull off the three-peat? But the NBA has been such a compelling product in the bubble, and there's so many different directions you can take it, just starting with who is going to have the right to take on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who locked up the top seed in the West when we get to round one of the playoffs. And I stopped after the King and AD with purpose because that's the issue for the Lakers. With Avery Bradley opting out and still waiting for Rajon Rondo to come back from the thumb injury, who do you really trust on that team? And LeBron has been easing his way through these games, understanding it's all about the championship run. But if you're a Laker fan, you should be concerned as to who the third option is going to be. Because are you really leaning on Kyle Kuzma in a high leverage situation? And if we believe that depth is more important than ever, and the reason I would go with Toronto or Boston over Milwaukee in the bubble, how can you argue with the Clippers, who have the deepest team in all of hoops, and they got Lou Williams back, although they lost to Phoenix yesterday on a brilliant shot by Devin Booker at the horn. Lou Williams finally had to address the media. There was a degree of contrition. I'm paraphrasing here, but saying, in retrospect, choosing to go to the Gentlemen's Club, it was a magical experience, maybe not the best choice, and saying, and he gave a plug to another establishment, If he had gone to a steakhouse or even Hooters, we wouldn't be talking about anything. Lou, you're right. And I don't care that your name is on the menu at that establishment you went to in Atlanta. Use your head. Perception is reality. Clippers are deeper than the Lakers. I don't care that they lost head-to-head on reopening night because they didn't have Montrezl Harrell and they didn't have Lou Williams. Clippers are coming out of the West. But I have jumped to the conclusion when everything else leading up to the conference finals and the NBA finals is going to be dynamite. Because think about a team like Portland. And Carmelo Anthony has given me so much material over the years that I have to be honest and say he's playing well. Now, we're not going to misremember everything negative leading up to this moment for the Blazers. But Melo looks to have taken his time off seriously. Looks like he's in great shape. And he's knocking down critical shots for a Portland team. I don't think anybody wants to play when we get to the postseason if they sneak into the playoffs. Because you have the weird gimmick with the 9-seed play-in possibility, all designed to get Zion and the Pelicans in there. Well, Zion can barely make it up and down the court, although he finally played 25 minutes the other night as Memphis had another issue and more bad news. They lost Jaren Jackson. They're not going to have him moving forward. But all of these teams we're talking about in the hunt for that eighth and final playoff spot have losing records. In a real year, we would be ripping them for having the ability to make the postseason with a losing record. But because this is the most unusual sports year of them all, I got no problem with it. I'm on team content, baby. Give me things to watch and things to talk about, and the NBA has delivered. And prior to last night, one of the more intriguing teams in Orlando was the Houston Rockets. I'm not going to crush them for losing just one game, coming off the quality win over Milwaukee. And unlike the Bucks' loss to Brooklyn yesterday, no load management for Giannis and teammates. They were out there competing at a high level, and Houston still had everything that they needed to deliver in critical situations. So can we really believe in the Rockets in postseason games that count? And here's what's so interesting about the team from H-Town. Go back to this stage of the season a year ago, or all the way into the playoffs. What were we saying about Houston? Well, I can just steal from Steve Kerr. He said matching up with Houston was like taking on a bunch of NFL linebackers because Daryl Morey decided since he couldn't beat the Warriors, he was going to beat them up. Didn't work out because we're talking about Houston and their well-documented series of postseason issues other than Akeem and Kenny Smith and Robert Horry winning when Michael was playing baseball. But Houston's challenges don't go away just because they've gotten much smaller, because James Harden still has a mixed playoff resume. I'll be kind. A lousy postseason track record. Russell Westbrook, look at the numbers, not much better. And you are what you consistently do, except for this year. They're in a bubble with no fans. And watching these games, I don't think I'm hallucinating coming out of the makeshift steam room in my bathroom in that studio apartment. James Harden is playing defense. It's actually happening. And he's igniting his teammates because Houston's playing team defense as well. What do you know? Russell Westbrook is moving the basketball. He can do that when he's not trying to average a triple-double. But while they have been intriguing, and they certainly have a chance of shooting their way deep into the postseason, you still have Mike D'Antoni as the head coach with all of the issues that come with that. We've seen him in the past make poor decisions when it comes to timeouts, clock management, not his forte. There's a reason why Mike D'Antoni's never been a head coach of a team making it all the way to the NBA Finals. And more significantly, they play in the West. because I realize the seedings are still in flux, but it could play out this way. Houston versus the LA Clippers in the Western semis, which is a Houston exit, or if they can somehow get that done and maybe Russ goes off for 35 and Harden has 52, that's the problem with Houston. They need their two great players to be phenomenal to have a chance, and shooters are not robots. You're going to have an off night here and there, but best of seven, things might even out. If Houston somehow gets past the Clippers, then they have to face the Lakers, and that's not happening. So it's an entertaining story, but I can, like I did in college, just go to the end of that textbook. We know how this one wraps up. Houston falling short of their goal to make it to the NBA Finals and probably in the market for a new head coach, because as we discussed with Sekou Smith of NBA.com in the last hour of the show, Mike D'Antoni's contract has already expired, ended in June when the season was supposed to end. Remember, he and his agent rejected what they felt like was a low-ball offer, not enough years. I think we're looking at another head coach in Houston next year. Let us squeeze in a phone call. We'll do it concisely because he's a friend of the program and a friend of mine. I defend him on Twitter. Here is Matt in L.A. Matt, you got to go with brevity today. What's up? You're on with Weber.
Hey, Web, from Palisades to Palo Alto, you're welcome. Love you, my man. Hey, just wanted to double down on the whole baseball take. You know, if I was Manfred or if Manfred had any stones, he should have just invoked forfeits. We're already doing Little League stuff, man. Make these guys forfeit. St. Louis and the Marlins don't deserve to make up those games because Donnie Ballsack went Donnie Ballsack by having a vote of Marlins after he knew that COVID had already entered that locker room. And that's pathetic. That's where you got to step in as a leader, Manfred, and do something. But we all know it ain't going to happen, man. Money reigns supreme. They're going to let these guys go with a slap on the wrist. And hopefully those guys are early exits because those teams are garbage anyway. Hey, I'm with you, Weber. The Clippers look dangerous, but I'm still staying with my Lake Show. Hey, War Drizzle feeding a trike and souping it up with a junk Yamasaki motor to whip around Wichita soup kitchens. War It's Rick Eisenhower using the hand crank on his Model T for forearm exercising. But unwar I. Ray Craig using loose leaf paper glued together as a blanket. Save the trees, man. Outro.
Outro. The one and only Matt in L.A. when I heard not a Toby in Houston crank reset, but when Garrett Ritt was referenced, I thought Matt was going to go cranking up his record player that Thomas Alva Edison gave him about 100 years ago so we could listen to the newest release from Weird Al Yankovic. I'm not taking shots at you, Dr. Demento. I'm a big Weird Al fan, but I was a little bit surprised that you went so in-depth with that confessional yesterday with the great Bill Ryder. Nothing wrong with sticking and jabbing, making a point, but I felt like I had attended that concert with you and your lovely bride, and I thought you were just going to go through the whole catalog of Weird Al's greatest hits, and we could have. We could have. We play the hits here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, much more to get to. If you didn't have a chance to give me a call today, you can lob me a phone call tomorrow. 1-800-636-8686. Straight ahead, we wrap it up with more football. Tom Brady turned 43 on Monday. Will the ageless wonder guide the Bucs to the postseason? Pete Prisco, senior columnist for CBSSports.com, will join us. Now let's get to the latest. Time for a sports update. Here's Richard. Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome. You can tweet at me in our remaining minutes together or after the program. BW Weber, let's talk football. Training camps underway, just over a month away from the start of the regular season. Let's say hello to a great friend of the program, Pete Prisco, senior columnist for CBSSports.com. You see him on CBS Sports HQ. Pete, thanks for taking the time. You and I have not chatted for a while. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brian? Staying safe, staying healthy.
And that is all that's important. Let's take a tour around the league, starting with the premier teams. And you do enough radio, you know we're always looking for the construct. So we got the reigning champs of Kansas City, and a Baltimore team favored in every game this upcoming season, including a matchup against the Chiefs. If I made you pick between the Chiefs and Ravens in terms of a comprehensive roster, which team do you think is more complete, better on both sides of the ball?
Well, I think the Chiefs are, to be honest with you. You know, they get 10 of the 11 starters from the Super Bowl offense back. You know, they re-signed Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Honey Badger in the secondary. Look, the Ravens have a good roster. They're down three are going to be outstanding with the additions of Wolf and Calais Campbell. But there's some uncertainty there. The wide receiver position, Marquise Brown has to take the next step. I think, you know, when you look at the linebackers, there's some questions there. Patrick Queen has to become a big-time player right away. So if you ask me, I'd say the Chiefs, and they have the best quarterback and the best player in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes.
And I'm with you. I think that is salient analysis. I was talking about the Browns earlier in the program, Pete, and Baker Mayfield has lived up to his pledge to be quiet in the offseason. What's the outlook for Baker and the Browns this year with a cerebral play caller and a new head coach in Kevin Stefanski?
I think Kevin Stefanski is going to be good for Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski will use some two tight ends to run the ball and take a little bit of the pressure off of Mayfield. Last year, you know, everybody wanted to criticize Baker Mayfield, but in large part, the offensive line, particularly the tackles, were terrible. So they went out and they addressed it. They get Jack Conklin, they draft Jedrick Wills. I think that's going to be a much improved offensive line this year, which will help Baker Mayfield. You know, sometimes guys need to mature and grow up. And I think after a humbling season last year for Baker Mayfield, I think he'll be that much better. And I think he fits in what Kevin Stefanski wants to do in that offense.
Talking football with Pete Prisco. Check him out, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ. Pete, let's stay in that division. Ben Roethlisberger is back. He talked about the details of the elbow injury that he was pretty candid in terms of its severity. That sounded like something even more than we were led to believe last year when he missed the majority of the season. Ben's now 38, coming back from that significant injury. If he can stay healthy, do you have Pittsburgh as a playoff team?
Yes, and I think they'll push the Ravens in the division, and I think they're a Super Bowl contender if he's Ben Roethlisberger. And again, we don't know what you're going to get from him. He's in great shape. He clearly thinks he's fine in terms of throwing the football. And that offense was dreadful last year because of the quarterback position. Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges were terrible. And I think that really bled to the entire unit. I think with Ben back in there, they'll be able to throw the ball down the field. Juju Smith-Schuster will have a bounce-back season. And they're going to run the ball. The offensive line's good. And then defensively, they're really good. So I think not only are they going to be a playoff team, I think they're going to push for the division title, and they're going to push for a Super Bowl berth.
And if we had a normal preseason, tomorrow would have brought us the Hall of Fame game between the Steelers and the Cowboys. Of course, that's not going to happen, but let's focus on Dallas. We spent months on Dak Prescott's contract situation, but we probably didn't talk enough about the Cowboys as an entire team. How much of a coaching upgrade is Mike McCarthy over Jason Garrett?
I think Mike McCarthy's a really good football coach, and I think a year away will have done him really good in terms of what he does offensively. I thought in Green Bay his offense got a little stale. They didn't have a lot of bunch and moves and pre-snap motion and all that, and what they did is they'd line up and they'd run ISO routes. Now, you go on and you hear that Aaron Rodgers preferred it that way, but I think they needed to get with the times. You have to be able to, you know, get some guys in bunch formations and trick some teams sometimes. So I think that's one of those situations where a year away, he's able to study the rest of the league. I think they'll be more complex on offense than what he was in Green Bay. And I'm a big believer in Mike McCarthy as a head coach and as an offensive guy. So I think it'll be very good for Dak Prescott.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, spotlighting the NFL with Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Tom Brady turned 43 on Monday. Other than George Blanda, we have not seen many quarterbacks starting a new chapter of their career at that age. So you got Gronk coming out of retirement, a deep receiving core led by Mike Evans. Pete, do you have any real doubts about Brady's transition to Florida?
Well, he's got the weapons, that's for sure. He hasn't had those in New England in a long time. And you know, it's not just Gronk at tight end. They have two other guys that can catch the football. I think the offensive line will be better because the right tackle they drafted out of Iowa, Wirfs, is going to be a good player. And, you know, they'll score points. I just, you know, we got to see it again. It's 43 years old. He hasn't looked the same, and part of that's because of his weapons. But it's still the unknown. We don't know what Tom Brady can bring when he does have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all those guys. My biggest concern for the Bucs, I think the offense will be fine, clearly. I think the defense front will be good. But if the secondary takes big strides, they're going to be really good. And there's a lot of young players on that secondary, in that secondary, who, if they take the next step, that defense could be almost as good as the offense, which says something, because they can rush the passer, the linebackers can fly to the football. If the secondary grows up, that could be a really good defense.
Good point about Tampa Bay's depth of tight end, Cameron Brait, the Harvard product, and O.J. Howard, who they used a first-round pick on just a couple years ago. Pete, as we try to figure out how the season is going to look, so much grumbling happens every summer about the preseason. It's an unwatchable product. Fans have to pay regular season prices for exhibition football. But when we get to the games that count in September, what do you think the impact of not having a preseason is going to be?
Well, I think one of the early trends will be big plays and points. And people will say, well, the offenses are usually ahead of the defenses. I mean, the offense is usually behind the defenses, and that's usually the case. But without the preseason, unless teams do more tackling, you're starting to hear little bits and pieces of coaches saying we're going to tackle in training camp more, which they don't usually do, and that means bringing people to the ground, I think you're going to see a lot of big plays. The NFL today is ball out, run with the football, with the receivers, and that, when you look at angles and tackling, is going to be lacking in the secondary, which means one missed tackle and off he goes for a big play. So I think early in the season, the trend without preseason and without tackling, unless teams actually tackle more in camp, and I can't imagine they will do that much more, I think you're going to see a lot of big plays and a lot of points early in the season.
Pete, I know you typically come on when Jim is here, so I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hope to chat with you soon again here on CBS Sports Radio.
You got it, Brian. Take care, man.
Pete Prisco. If you follow him on Twitter, it's all about Arizona State. We'll do the Pac-12 connection. I have squandered not one but two Pac-12 degrees, and I'm sure you care about all of those details, like what I'm going to have for lunch coming up. Do not tweet at me that I'll be going to a buffet and cleaning it out. I get the gist on Twitter. Pete was so good, we're going to make that our huge call. Don't have time to wax your car? 303 Touchless Sealant is a quick and easy solution. Simply spray on and rinse off. It's just that easy. Get the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. 303radio.com has all of the information. Check out the websites. Ask the pros on the way. But first, the best part about this program is it's organic. I love when you mention I have a lot of paperwork. Sometimes the internet doesn't work. Who's the smart guy now? Beyond what I come through that door with in terms of prepared content, we stumble across gems. So here's a quick recap. Adam Hawk's not here, meaning he couldn't give me his typical 40% of producing effort that he gives any fill-in host. I posed the question, is there something sub-zero beyond a temperature? We got a tweet reminding us of the great Andrew McCarthy vehicle in 1987, less than zero, based on the Bret Easton Ellis book I read back in the day. And I threw it out there. If you know where Andrew McCarthy is, let me know. Now, Garrett Rich should have gotten him on the phone because he's a Hollywood insider. Instead, we have an Andrew McCarthy update. For that, let's bring in a man who parlayed 3 weeks of being my producer on a weekend program into a integral part of the biggest show in our industry, my friend Garrett Ritt. Garrett, what do you have?
Oh, McCarthy is crushing life here. He's a director. He's been directing The Blacklist. He's been directing Orange is the New Black, The Good Girls. And then he hasn't done a movie himself since 2019. One movie in the last 10 years, and that was Finding Julia last year, which wasn't that great. But so he's a big-time director and producer.
Thank you for the little Roger Ebert-esque aside. Well, in the movie, he hasn't been in one in a decade. Not that good. Well, finally, he was in a film. So you're saying his career is thriving behind the camera, like you?
Truth, yes.
Okay. I made the mistake of putting you on camera on CBS Sports
Always
Network.
A bad idea.
Thank
Terrible.
You, Garrett. Great job. And I do want to, before I do the
finally
long Game On-esque thank yous in just a couple minutes.
Game on.
Take a moment to applaud the effort of the XR4TI today, Garrett and Alvin, not only having to put up with me, especially during the commercials, talking about my career, navigating some real challenges. Sometimes the internet just does not want to cooperate, especially here in Southern California. So while it's always choppy when you got a guy like me in the chair, the pros on the other side of the glass made it happen. And with that, it's time to answer your Ask the Pros question. Were you the clones? Submitted a question at CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'll be Larry King. Let's go to the phones. Given your jack-of-all-trades career, which sporting event do you feel is better suited for your quote-unquote talents? Dog show or world strongman competition? Jim Benton. Well, Jim, I wish I had more time. Again, you can download my podcast, Voices of the Game, with B-Web for the answer. What do you think? I'm all about the yelling. Down goes Weber! Down goes Weber!
And it's over just that quickly.
Wow.
And this show's over just that quickly. Thanks to the fellas. Great work today. We'll do it again tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.